Welcome to the Truth Exchange Podcast, the unique program where we have conversations about worldview, all through the lens of oneism and twoism. This lens is based on Romans 1:25. We have exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve creation rather than the Creator who is blessed forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
I'm your host, Joshua Gilo, and with me is Mary, the co-host. Mary, good to have you back on the show.
Hi, Joshua. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's a nice, crisp, fall weather kind of day.
I'm a little jealous. I noticed that you're wearing a sweater, and I am in as sleeveless a shirt as I can be in because it's going to be like 85, which means here in Escondido, it's actually going to be 90.
Yeah. Do you have some rain coming up, though, next week?
Possibly. I think we've got like a 30% chance. And of course, we're all skiers and snowboarders. So when it's not surfing season, all the kids are like, oh, snow. It's just ongoing. No. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, it seems like every year around Halloween time is when the wet weather begins on the coast of California, at least in the southern part. And we're here in the south. We have a number of false falls, and initially the prophets of doom were saying, it's just a fake fall, but the cold weather has not let up, and
I'm jealous, because we were thinking this year, you know, like in San Diego, we kind of have that false fall come in, like we get some cool, and then it rains a little bit. And then come Halloween, it's like 101 and the kids are all sweating in their Halloween costumes and their candy's melting. So we'll see what happens this year.
Yeah, your kids are all way too old now for trick-or-treating.
Yeah. And, my youngest is going to homecoming this weekend. So it's a different kind of dress-up.
Yeah.
How fun.
Yeah, one of my, I graduate them from trick-or-treating once they turn 12. And so my 12-year-old is pleading with me to go one last time, and I'm holding.
Wow. Yeah. That's brutal.
Oh!
You're such a mean dad. I'm Auntie Mary, and I'm going to make a phone call.
When did you stop allowing your kids?
14, 15.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm like, it's time to become a man.
Yeah, they have to dress up, and they kind of like they got more and more creative with their costumes and everything. So they can't just go around in like jeans and a t-shirt and like demand candy. So anyway.
All right. Well, we are now in part 3 of the series on the gospel truth, pagan lies, or otherwise known as the 5 points of paganism. I'm going to just pull up my notes. Just for a recap for our listeners, essentially, this series was a series taught by Dr. Peter Jones, really when he began exploring the rise of neo-paganism in American culture. If you'll remember, he was one of the first missionaries in the PCA, and as a Brit, came to the States in the late 60s and married Rebecca Clowney. And they were asked by the PCA, which began in 1973, to be missionaries to France. And when he came to the States, he had thought he had died and gone to heaven. It was Christian America. And he was shocked. He tells one story where he was in the grocery store and somebody was given too much change. And the person came back and said, I think you gave me the wrong amount of change. He about had a heart attack. He never had seen that kind of integrity done. And so he thought America, wow, like the new heavens, a new earth. And so he goes off to godless France and is involved in church planting and planting a seminary, comes back to the States in the early 90s, and America is radically different. And so he begins studying and reading what were the books of the movers and shakers and the powers of and from politics and from religious leaders and so on, and was found out really what happened was as the hippies went east to the shamans then came west to the States. And really a worldview or a spirituality that was embraced by American culture was a Hindu worldview that all is one. Mm-hmm. And Mary, you talked about this as the Sanskrit term Advaita, which means not two.
Not two. Yeah. So it's immediately a rejection of that creator-creation distinction.
That's right. And I will have to... I was watching a video recently that has gone viral by Turning Point USA, where they have had the... Vivek? Is it Vivek?
Vivek? Ramaswamy?
Ramaswamy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's say Vivek Ramaswamy, where he's speaking at a number of these Turning Point USA events. And a lot of these Christian kids are saying, wait, what is a Hindu doing at this Christian event? And he brings up Advaita.
Does he really? I have not seen this video.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to come back to that. It's really fascinating. And I'd love to hear your take on it. Anyways, so the first point of paganism, or the first lie, is that all is one. And this is the lie that goes all the way back to the garden. Did God really say? Mm-hmm. And it's this exchanging of the truth in Romans 1:25, that there is no triune creator who made heaven and earth, that really you are God. And
yeah, no, that's exactly what the serpent says, is that they are not to eat from the tree of good and evil because they will become like gods, and that God did not want that. That it's an impossibility. Yeah.
Yep. And so all is one and everything is divine. There is no external God. Spirituality is in ourselves and the universe around us. Now, the gospel truth is that there is a God. And you are not him. He is triune. And therefore, there is two kinds of reality, that there is that creator-creation distinction.
Right.
Second point, and this is what we covered last week, which is that all humanity is one. We're all part of that divine power. We all share within it. And therefore, if we're all divine and there's no distinctions between male and female, we can unite on this true happiness, that love is love. We can eliminate borders. We should all just get along. That's the elimination of private property. We talked about how children then become commodities. Of course, then any kind of Christian structure, though, is of hierarchy or then becomes evil. But the reality is that all humanity is actually two, that there are two kinds of people. There are those whom are against God and those who are for God. There is no reality. So this brings us to today, that all religions are one. This is the third lie of paganism, or the third point of paganism, that all religions of the earth or in the world have some truth. This was really popular, of course, in the late 80s and the 90s and spread out into the 2000s. And we don't always typically hear of these kind of terms. And I think we should assess how, in light of, especially in the conservative circles, we're seeing some kind of revival of Gen Zers and Alpha Generation that are actually returning to traditional views.
Right.
And maybe even traditional Christianity. I'm a bit skeptical when people say traditional Christianity, but we can get into that later. Yeah. But what we're finding is that people that, and this was the phrase, is that if you've spoken to your next door neighbor, and they'll say, as you talk, and you eventually get to those conversations where you get passive, you know, where are you from, how are you doing, and you're borrowing sugar, and you start to get into those more meatier things and conversations, and then you invite them to church and say, hey, why don't you come with me to church, and they say, oh, no, I'm not religious, but I'm really spiritual.
Yeah.
And the reality is everyone is spiritual. Mm-hmm. The question is not whether or not if they worship, because they all do. The question is, what do they worship? And if it's not God, it's idolatry.
Right.
Did you want to fill in on there on anything? And if you do, please do, because I'm going to turn in my Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
No, actually, this is a great intro, and I want to hear where you go with it. I have a number of examples of experiences that I've had where people are even speaking scripture and you find out that they're oneists, and it's a very interesting thing. So yeah, take us. Take us to scripture. Yeah.
Before I do, I'll share a real quick funny story. Is a number of years ago, we had a friend come out to one of our think tanks, and I think it was our 2012 think tank, and I cannot recall his name. It makes me sad to think that, but he came up with the sticker or the design Contradict.
Yeah. Oh.
He's a Lutheran guy, Lutheran brother.
Yeah.
And, if you're listening to the program, I'm so sorry. I can't remember your name. But so for our listeners, you've probably all have seen the sticker Coexist, and it's written in all kinds of pagan. And then I think they might have a cross in there for the T. And so it's all religions should get along. It's because all religions are one, and we should coexist. Well, this brother, in response to that, came up with the Contradict sticker. And he uses all kinds of pagan symbols and says, hey, they all contradict. He was passing out these bumper stickers at our think tank, and I put one on my car. And I remember one time I went out, and I think I was running errands for
Andy Rassman.
Andy Rassman.
Yeah.
For our listeners, you should go check out Contradict. I think the Contradict movement, it's still, there's stickers are still being made. In fact, actually, when we were at the 2023 event in
Atlanta, the G3
event, I saw a bunch of people with Contradict stickers.
Yeah.
It was really
neat. Well, that's
how
we found Andy. I was driving down the freeway. I was on the phone with Pam Frost on my headphones. Thank you very much. And I saw what I thought was a Coexist sticker. And then I was like, wait, oh, it's Contradict. I was in Rancho Bernardo. So I like sped up so that I could see what it actually said. I came back to the office, looked it up. And that's how we found Andy, was seeing one of his. Yeah, that's why he came to that original think tank.
Okay. So anyways, somebody had left me a note on my windshield and said, can't you see you're part of the problem? As in referencing to the sticker. Anyways, okay. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as some of you were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play, and neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Then in verse 14 it says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, any kind of idolatry is actually, it is a worship of creation. And Paul, he lists off things like sexuality, drunkenness, gluttony, and so on. And so the fornication, loose living, all this, these things is the byproduct. And we see that actually in Romans 1:26. It's for this reason, because we exchange the truth of God, our natural proclivity then tends towards a sexual dysfunction. Then God gives us over, and we exchange for what's natural for what is unnatural. And and that is the power of the oneness lie is that when you become God, you set the parameters for how far you can go in your desires. And so that's why it licenses you to be a drunk. It licenses you to live sexually any way you choose. It licenses you to be a glutton. And what happens then, culture then is the byproduct of religion. Henry Van Til said that culture is religion externalized. Mm-hmm. And so what we see then, how cultures manifest themselves out is that byproduct of worship. And the culture creates its own blasphemy laws. And we see if you go to Trader Joe's and you don't have a bag, you get charged for not having a bag because you're not worshiping the earth the right way. And so this is church discipline. 75 cents. Whereas you see the guy in front of you, he's got a bag and he rides his bike and he's got many, many kinds of bags and he loves his bags. He appreciates his bags. but you don't have a bag. So you get church discipline. And this is what the culture does. When they worship the earth, they institute laws and regulations that are just utterly crazy. California sees this all the time. They worship the spotted owl, so they're not going to cut down trees. Well, what's going to happen? The trees are going to get dry, and it's going to cause damage. Isn't it an irony? The thing that they worship then becomes their.
That particular one, the way that we manage our forests in the name of ecology, is very vivid for our family, because we were on family vacation up in Northern California when the Redding fire started. And so we got rerouted on the way to the camp that we were going to. We ended up on fire roads. I mean, we were so high up on a dirt road because we couldn't take regular roads because we were trying to get away from that fire. Right. That, you know, in the middle of July, in 100 degree weather down on the floor, there was still snow under the trees. And on the way home, the fire had really taken off, and we were looking for a gas station where we could get into town and get gas before that freeway exit was going to get, or entrance was going to get shut down again, because the fire was traveling at such a rapid rate. I mean, so many people died, billions of dollars of damage done. People lost their homes, lost their businesses, entire communities were devastated. And it was because of that poor forest management. I mean, it's a very real thing here in California, the repercussions of these, nonsensical and religious ideologies that we hold to.
So let's talk, bring up the Vivek Ramaswamy video that I had seen. Yeah. That's going, like I said, I had seen it a couple of weeks ago. And a friend of mine is a part of the chapter of Turning Point at USC. And he had invited me to come out at USC. He had save seats towards the front.
And University of Southern Carolina, South Carolina.
The true USC, yeah.
We're UCLA fans, so it's fine if you say things.
Gabe Fleur once said, USC was chartered before California was even a state. So.
Very Gabe Florian phrase.
I know. Anyway, so, and I had asked my friend, so is Vivek going to be at this event? And he was shocked by it. And I had just seen this video, and this video that's gone viral is Turning Point had allowed Vivek to be a part of a number of events that. Well, because Turning Point was scheduled, was on a tour, and and in the light of Charlie Kirk's death, they continued having those events, but they just had other men fill in, and apparently there was a stream of Turning Point events where they invited him, Vivek Ramaswamy, to be a speaker, and at the event in Montana. A number of Christians were put off by Vivek because he is Hindu. And they asked him, why should we vote for you? Because don't your view, your values, your core beliefs, actually aren't they counter to what we hold to? And he said, no, I'm actually a monotheist. And then he then said, ethically a monotheist, and he says, I hold to a philosophy of Advaita, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. And he said, because Brahman is the one God, but Mary, correct me if I'm wrong, in Advaita, because it's not two. And if Brahman is the one God, but isn't in Advaita the view that all is one?
Okay, so.
So he's saying I'm one with that, with Brahman.
Right. Okay, so this is a fundamental yogic philosophy where the Atman is seeking to be reunited with the Brahman in a universal God consciousness. And I'm mixing up terms because you hear this in different religious movements also. So I'm mixing up some of my religious terms, but the idea
Atman, for our listeners who don't know it, Atman is
the divine spark within us, right? And so, right. So we have the divine spark within us, and we are seeking by yogic practice and Hindu belief. I mean, Ayurvedic medicine, chakra work, like all of this has to do with seeking to reunite with Brahman. And so this idea of that monotheism, it's a false monotheism that he's describing, because all is one and is seeking to lose all distinctions so that you can reunite with the ultimate divine Brahman, right? So it's not God outside of the universe, outside of creation, whom we can never become. We're actually seeking to lose that distinction, that sense of individuality, so that we can reunite with the divine. That's what transcendence is. So,
right.
This is one of those interesting places where you hear Christian-like terms and even the exact same words being used to describe fundamentally, radically different theological viewpoints. So that's fascinating. I'm going to have to find that video.
Yeah, I'll have to send that to you. And then there's another character that's popped up for, I want to say, for the past 10 years, and I remember when I first heard him and I saw his videos, is Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan Peterson has been on a journey.
Yeah.
And this really does. It follows in line with all this one view, is that I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. Well, where is your journey going?
Yeah.
Where is the ultimate destination? You know, it is the Pilgrim's Progress of all these characters that are coming alongside Christian, and they think that they're going to wind up at the same spot. And they may get to the gates of the celestial city, but then those characters get turned away.
Yeah.
And with Jordan Peterson, a lot, and granted, for all the good that I would say, for all the revival of natural wisdom or natural law and wisdom, practical things for life, standing up straight, cleaning your room, how you present yourself. Maybe somebody has some wisdom that you can learn from. Some of this is just, it's common grace items for life, and they're good things. And I'm thankful that younger generations have heard and seen just God's grace in those practical terms, because the culture needs it. Manners. There is certainly a need for the reformation of manners in young people. However, a lot of what he espouses, though, is really a oneist, all religions are one kind of spirituality. And I'm not convinced I've seen him be saved. I know his wife and his daughter are involved in the Roman Catholic Church, and that's for another discussion. But when I've seen his videos and his lecture series through the Exodus and his series on Genesis, which is very pagan by my estimation, but his Exodus, he has this round table that is quite interfaith. In terms of all various streams of quote-unquote Christians, some who are very, very much Christian. But then you also have Jews on there, modern-day Judaism, which I think is very pagan. And I can speak to that from my background.
Yeah.
But, you know, and what was, is, and I've seen one lecture out of that Exodus series that I loved was Oz Guinness tries to stop the conversation and say, you know, this view is eliminating the creator-creation distinction. And one of the things that was distinct about the Israelites was that they believed in that separation of the creator and creation. Mm-hmm. And that there isn't something that unites all religions as one. So
yeah.
And we see that.
this becomes particularly poignant, and I would ask all of our listeners and viewers to pray for Jordan Peterson, because he's very ill. He's been extremely ill for the last month and a half, and it sounds dire. And so I would encourage them to pray for Jordan, that he would begin to recognize that God is a reality, not the ultimate mythology. You know, right. He's openly Jungian in the way that he views even the stories of Scripture, where he views it from an archetype perspective. Yes. And so he does not seem to be able to cross that divide of believing that there is a triune God who is not merely an idea or a conceptualization of the human race, but who is the creator of everything, including the human race, who then entered into history in a real human body as Christ, who is our Savior. So he's our creator and our redeemer. And Jordan has not grasped that. And I think that that's something that's so important for all of us to remember as Christians, is that we are talking about historical events. We are talking about reality, the ultimate reality. We're not talking about mythologies that help us explain ourselves because we're ultimately divine or we're the ultimate reality. That's not the case. We are created in his image. And so I would encourage our listeners to pray for Jordan. I'm very concerned for him. I know our good friend Stephen Chavira has faithfully prayed for him. And I have other friends who have done that as well, that he would come into a true encounter with the triune God and that he would be saved. So yeah, there's a lot of good that comes from it, but I agree with you that it's a common grace good. It's not gospel salvific good. Right. And there is only one truth that saves. Yep.
And we'll get to that, the gospel truth aspect. There's one last thing I think we should touch on. It's the popular question we get a lot at Truth Exchange, which is, okay, so I can see how Hinduism or Wicca or Satanism or Baha'i or any of those kind of Eastern religions are pagan. Mm. Because it does, the monism or the all is one of distinction is very clear from the get-go. But what about Islam? Mm. What about Judaism? Don't those religions have a creator-creation distinction? And the reality is that they do. However, at Truth Exchange, we call it a false twoism.
Right.
That the creator in Islam or Judaism, in essence, and specifically with Islam, that Allah is so distinct from his creation. He's the technical philosophical word is he's a monad. And he has no way to, he's so distinct that then therefore he has no way to truly communicate with his creation that he's created.
Right.
And so we never truly, there's no reflection, there's no imago Dei. There's no therefore values of beauty, truth, and goodness. Mm. And so then the response in Islam is the hard other side of that is Sufism, which is then a very pantheistic type of mystical union of oneness spirituality, mm-hmm. Which is really we see is a lot of the younger people are buying into because there's over transcendence, and they become the transcendent. In Judaism, is because of the radical rejection of the Trinity. It's the rejection of the second person of the Godhood, and therefore also rejects the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit spirates from the Father and the Son. Mm-hmm. And so when you reject the Trinity, you've rejected God's Word. And so, again, it creates God, or Yahweh, as this monad that doesn't have any way to truly to interact with his creation. He doesn't redeem his creation. And that's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it, Mary?
Yeah.
That God is not only transcendent, but he's deeply immanent.
Immanent, yes.
And that immanence is that intimacy with his creation, in which he, the second person, becomes flesh. And that's the interesting thing about paganism, is in paganism, you're trying to become divine.
Yeah, you're trying to transcend the flesh.
Whereas in Christianity, God becomes flesh.
Yeah, ultimate vulnerability, because then he sacrifices his own flesh on our behalf. And therefore, communion becomes this beautiful picture of our eating and drinking the sacrifice that represents for us and reminds us so beautifully of what has been done, because we can't clean the inside. We can't sprinkle blood from sacrifice any longer. That blood has been shed on our behalf, and we do it in remembrance of what he's done for us. That is our salvation, what he has done. And the transcendent combined with the vulnerable is such a mind-blowing beauty that only we have as Christians. And it's just glorious.
So, and that's where our spirituality, rather than worshiping and servicing creation, is turned towards outside of us. And our worship and service is of the Creator who made heaven and earth. I always think about that video that we made a number of years ago introducing the Truth Exchange Ministry, and it's still on our YouTube channel, and I'll put the video in the link so some of our listeners who may not have seen it can see it. I always think about Mike Law, who you just had on the program.
Brother Law.
A couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And I could hear his voice just say, now, Jesus just talks about two. You're either for me or you are against me. There is the wide road that leads to destruction, or there's the narrow road. I can hear then Peter and Rebecca Jones saying, we're quoting Bob Dylan, you got to serve somebody. Either you're going to serve the Lord. Well, Jesus says there's only one approach to the Father, and it's through him. Christians do not revere Christ as a great prophet among others. He is God, and he is God in human form that's come to rescue us from our sins. And so to spiritualize him as some sort of cosmic Christ or one among many, as some present in a variety of religions, is to refuse him. And that's something we have to make clear as we evangelize and we witness to our spiritual but not religious neighbor.
Absolutely. And it affects the way then, Joshua, too, we read scripture and interpret the call of scripture on how we're supposed to live our lives here in this world where God has placed us as his image bearers, right? We are his created witnesses to the reality of him. And I was thinking in terms of Matthew 22, where Jesus is asked what the great commandment in the law is. And he says in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 30 through verse 40, and Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And this came up in a very interesting way recently. Here in Southern California, there is a school board where a member recently who is male came out as a transgender woman. And this has caused some controversy within the community, and people have been coming and speaking at school board meetings about this issue, some of them calling on this person to reconsider and to resign, and others encouraging him that he is actually living his most authentic self now in this trans woman form. And there was an instance where one of the speakers got up who was at the school board meeting, and she wanted to speak in support of this man's trans identity. And she actually brought up this passage of scripture. And I was watching the meeting online, and I was taken aback because she started out by reading these two great commands. And after getting to "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," she stopped and said, "And this means that we need to treat everyone with compassion and love and sympathy and empathy. And therefore, you must support him in living this authentic self." Of course, she was using she, her pronouns and referring to him as a woman. What's so interesting is that she missed the creator-creation distinction that is so clear in those commands. First, you love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You understand that he determines what reality is, and then your love of neighbor is founded in truth. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. It recognizes each other as valuable as image bearers made male and female as defined by God. And so you love in truth. And that was just such an interesting picture of what we're talking about. So there are people in our culture who, because they look at scripture, but they do not look at it through that lens of the creator-creation distinction. They don't have the category of the categories that are made in twoism so clear, they misinterpret what love even is, what love of neighbor should look like, what compassion should look like, what wisdom actually is, what empathy is actually. All of that gets turned on its head in the exact way that Paul describes at the end of Romans 1, where those who may not even practice the evil things that he has described encourage and rejoice over those who are doing those wrong things, and they call those wrong things good. Yep. So we have to be careful that even when we approach scripture, we do it from a twoist lens and not a oneist lens, because if you do it from a oneist lens, then you strip the very foundation out from underneath scripture that gives us that saving truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Mary, take us home.
This is a great discussion, and I'm so excited that we're going through all of these points. Joshua, can you remind me what the next point is that we're going to be discussing on the next episode?
So next week we will be talking about the problem.
All right.
And both the pagan lie and the gospel truth agrees that there is a problem.
A problem. It's just a very different problem.
That's right.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap up this episode. And I hope all of you have benefited from this discussion about all religions are one, that pagan lie, and what the absolute truth is and why it's so important, so distinct, why Christianity is different from every religion out there, because it's the only one that acknowledges in its fullness and glory that creator-creation distinction. So I thank you for joining us today. As always, I encourage you, if you have questions or comments, to like and subscribe wherever you're viewing or listening to this podcast episode. Give us a comment, ask us a question. You can also email us at office@truthexchange.com. That's office at the word truth, the letter X, the word change.com. And we can only do this. This ministry only survives through the support and encouragement of viewers and listeners like you. So thank you for joining us today, and I look forward to the next episode.